head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with Anoush Sariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And a great big thank you to all of you for downloading the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. I'm your host, Rick Redding, doing this for the 176th consecutive week. Very excited about my guest this week. This is a, you go through ups and downs, but this is an up, I think, because I have a very inspiring young woman, Charla Young, who you remember from being the Wave 3 troubleshooter on Wave TV some years ago, and she left that job in about 2009. And I talked to her today because she is an amazing woman. She has started this company that has offices in 50 cities around the country, five countries around the U.S., five countries, and she is in the business of empowering women. And you're going to hear a lot more about that. It's very, very exciting. And Charla told me she once wanted to be the next Oprah. She had a television show that aired. In fact, I looked in the archives of LouisvilleKY.com and I found a story that I did in 2011 about her and her show, because I was writing about media. She was in the media. And she told me a story about the disappointment she had when a network ixnayed her idea for a long-term television show in which she would have really been the next Oprah. She recovered from that. It was very a big setback for her, but she's gone on, and now she's doing some really great stuff that you're going to hear about in my interview with her in just a moment. In the second part of the show, I want to tell you that I had an opportunity to go to an event last week involving the Waterfront Gardens Botanical Garden down there on Frankfort Avenue and River Road. And it was a really wonderful event. It was a fundraiser, so there were a lot of people there, a lot of important people there. They were trying to raise money. They've raised $3.7 million on their way to a $4.2 million goal to get the first building built over there in 2017. And I have Casey Mayer, who is the director of program development. She's an interesting story. She was a banker, and lost her job. I mean, there's this theme about people who are really doing things in the world who once had a job and lost it, and for one reason or another. And you know, I think that's one of the great things about our country and our city and the way things work. I, of course, am a year and a half out from losing my job. I am a year out, believe it or not, from my ankle surgery. I had an ankle fusion done by Dr. George Quill, who was on this show and explained it all to you. And a year later, I'm really happy with the surgery. I'll tell you that I've tried playing some racquetball in the last few weeks. I'm still on the fence as to whether or not to move forward, join the club, start playing all the time. But I've really enjoyed it. I'm a lot less mobile. But it's a lot of fun. It's a great game. I love it still, and I haven't found anything to replace it yet. So I may be doing that. But anyway, so stay tuned for the second interview in the show. It's Casey Mayer about the Botanical Gardens, that event I went to. They had this charming young man, a 12-year-old kid named Simon, who just charmed the pants off everybody there. You might know Bob Hill, the former Courier Journal columnist, who's really into botany and plants and runs a nursery, and he was a speaker there. I was really surprised. Mario Urrutia, how many of you know that name? He's the former UofL wide receiver who played a couple of years in the NFL, and he is in town with a youth organization that he's running, and it was really great to see him being involved in the Botanical Gardens project. So there's a lot going on there. Casey's going to tell you all about that. But first, I want to tell you that the show itself has two sponsors. We're very proud to have Passport Health Plan as a sponsor of the show, along with the Eye Care Institute, which I just spoke to Mark Prussian the other day, the CEO, and he is he was at the Breakfast of Champions event that I went to. And we are it's time for me to go down and get my contacts. I asked him about the procedure for doing that. They're very friendly down there. 502-589-1500 if you need to make an appointment for any concern about your eyes. I know I've had the LASIK surgery prep, and I know what it takes and what's going to have to happen to make that happen. And I made that may be my resolution for the next year to get that done. But my friends at Eye Care Institute, believe me, they'll take care of you. We've had a lot of people on the show that gave great testimony, including Chris Thieneman, I think, last week, about how great it is to work with good folks down there at the Eye Care Institute. All right, so no guest host this week. I've had that program for several, but I don't know. You can say I got lazy, but I didn't get. I just wanted to get the show done today, and we are doing it, and it is a great show. So Charla Young and Casey Mayer are my guest on the show. I'm really looking forward to introducing you to those two folks. And right up after this message, you're going to hear from Charla Young.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
And it's a very exciting day out here at it's the Canaan Church.
Yes.
I'm with Charla Young. Charla, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Rick. Great to be here.
Well, you have made quite an impact on the world. Tell me just a little bit about this organization you've created.
Well, Power to Excel is a women's empowerment organization. We are all about love and positive energy, but our niche is travel. So we empower women through travel. We take women who have never been outside of a 10-block radius of their home to places like Jamaica, Costa Rica, Cancun.
Wow.
And it's one of the really neat things that we do. Outside of that, we do monthly activities like power-up workshops and public speaking and financial literacy. So we are attempting to empower women in every aspect of their lives. So it's really exciting to see that what you do on a daily basis really impacts the lives of people one person at a time.
Okay. Okay. And it's sort of amazing. You're having a big event today where and you say maybe 400 people. Will they all be women?
Yes, all women. Girl power.
There you go.
So we love the guys, but you know, my true passion is women and girls, and so it's where I spend the lion's share of everything that I do. And that passion comes from the fact that it was a woman who helped me many years ago when I was broke, busted, and disgusted. And so this is basically like giving back on steroids.
Wow, wow. Well, you know, I'm sure you weren't broke, busted, and disgusted then, but the first memory I have of you is as a TV news reporter, right?
Yes, yes. So 20 years in the television industry.
Wow, that long.
Yeah, I worked in Mississippi and then on to Lexington and then Louisville. So a long, long career in journalism. And it really was preparing me for this stage that I'm on now. So it's really intriguing to see that everything you've done, like I've been on stage since I was 2 years old. Mm-hmm. And so everything from then until now, and I'm 44, has been in preparation for exactly what I'm doing now.
Okay. Okay. Well, how did you come up, and when did it happen, the courage to make the break from, you know, a paying job to this running your own organization?
Yeah, it's really intriguing, Rick, because it wasn't a choice. I was kind of pushed out of the plane.
Okay.
I am a woman of faith. And so I think that God had really been ordering my steps for this, but I really didn't have the faith and the gusto on my own to do it. So he really orchestrated a way that I had to move out. So I was the troubleshooter for many years. My blood pressure was through the roof. And my doctor said, you know, one day you're going to die of a stroke. And you're going to be replaced. And you may get a story on the 6 o'clock news, but you're going to be replaced. So if I were you, I'd choose life. So I stepped away from that industry. I was always being sued or threatened, or, you know, it was just high intensity.
Sure.
And so I stepped away from that. later started my own show, The Sharla Young Show. And this little Power to Excel trip was just a trip that I did with my viewers once a year. Uh-huh. So it started out in May of 2013 with 70 women. And at my next retreat in Punta Cana, I will have 1,500.
Wow.
So this is in less than 3 years. Also, at the time that I was doing my show, I ended up in 26 cities and 13 states, and I was up for international syndication. So I really thought I would be the next Oprah Winfrey.
Okay.
And that's what I had in my head. But it just did not work out that way. I was in Atlanta at the final meeting where I was supposed to sign a contract and make $7 million a year.
Wow.
And the network said no. After 18 months of working on this deal.
Yeah.
So I went into really deep depression, but I finally came out of it and I wrote this book called Life's Lemons Make Damn Good Lemonade. I hope I can say damn on your show.
Yeah. But, it's perfectly okay.
Yeah, so Life's Lemons do make damn good lemonade. And this exhale movement is really a result of getting a no from the network and then God whispering in my ear that little Power to Excel thing you're doing, look around you. It's growing. So it was in New York. It was in Dallas. It was in L.A. It was in Houston. It was in Jamaica. It was in Greece. It was in Germany by no work of mine. This was all no marketing, no advertising. The movement was spreading. So we decided to make it an organization. We now have 33,000 members globally in 53 cities and 5 countries. And Passport Health Plan was there from the first day, and they are still there today helping us to empower women, not only in Kentucky, but around the globe.
Okay, well, that's an amazing story. Now, your office is still here in Louisville.
Yes.
Downtown. And,
yes.
And I mean, is it grown to where you have staff and
oh yeah,
I'm sure
yeah.
You do.
So I do have staff in the 50 plus countries. I'm at 50 plus cities that we are in currently. So I have a director in each of those cities,
wow.
And then I also have Team Exhale, which is my travel staff. So they travel with me to all of these retreats. We do 8 to 10 retreats a year. Next week, Monday, I'll be leaving for Jamaica, where we'll do part two of that retreat. So just, you know, it's really some exciting travel and exciting things.
Sure.
You know, when I look back, Elois Peach from Frankfort, Kentucky, when I was down and out, like at rock bottom, she said, "Your future is so bright it burns my eyes. And one day you're going to help thousands of people, but today I need to help you." So she wrote me a check for almost $30,000 and paid all of my debt and said that you are going to help other women. You know, she said, "You're going to help other people." And as it turned out, I am able to help other women just as she helped me. So this is like pay it forward on steroids. I never knew. Now that I look back and I see that she said, "You're going to help thousands of people," these are the thousands of people. And because I was sitting in the dark and, you know, in my home, not even being able to pay my light bill, because I had to go to the check in the cash place to get $100 at 380% interest, because I've been divorced, because I've been a single mom, I'm every woman. And so when women come to me and they're telling me that they're down and out and they're stressed and that they see no way out, I'm like, "Oh, girl, you can do it. I've got a t-shirt on it. You can do it." And I am who they are trying to, you know, emulate, but they don't understand that I've been where they were, you know,
right.
That I've been down and out, but there is a way out. So I try to be hope and I try to be real and authentic because I want them to know that I'm not happy every day, that I'm not positive every day,
mm-hmm.
But happiness is a choice.
Okay.
And this is what this movement is all about.
So it's a movement. Give me an idea what specifically, you know, in what areas you help. I was in watching some of the preview stuff, and there was a segment, I guess you're showing about heart health, but it seems to be about health and confidence, I guess.
Yes, yes.
If you could address that specifically.
It's every aspect of a woman's life. So we are trying to help them power up in the area of health, in the area of emotional health and physical health. We want to help them with their finances. We want to help them with their relationships. So everything that they could possibly have help in is where we are trying to put bits and pieces, things for them to think about. The American Heart Heart Association is one of our partners, and I am a Faith and Heart ambassador. I have hypertension, high stress, you know, all of those kinds of things. So I really try to promote exercising and making good choices, and that's just one of the things that we'll talk about today. You know, depression is a very real thing. I had major depression when I got the no mm-hmm. from the network. So I want women to know that it's okay to talk about those kinds of things, that you don't have to be by yourself, and that the sister that you are sitting beside, whether she is black, white, rich, poor, you know, gone through this or gone through that, that you guys are together. It's a network of mutuality, and what affects one does affect the other, and we are probably going through the same things, and it's sharing that helps us to get through those things.
Okay. Well, I want to address one other subject we discussed, because this is all about women, and the recent election was considered by many to be a bad thing for women.
Sure.
And there's protests all over the country going on about the presidential election, and I just wanted to hear your perspective on that and what women can do now.
You know, I will tell you this, because I'm a straight shooter. President-elect Donald Trump was not my candidate of choice. However, you know, that's where we are. I really wish that Hillary Clinton could have pulled it off, because we're all about girl power and we're all about empowerment, and we are all about sharing with women that there is no glass ceiling, that if it's possible, you can achieve it, all of those kinds of things. But at the same time, what I have gone online and on our social media networks and said to all of our members is that what the world needs now is love. You know, so we cannot let one party, one person, one platform, one agenda, you know, divide us and keep us from love. People ask me, you know, is this a black thing? Is this a white thing? No, it's a woman thing. And what I say is that, you know, love, positive energy, and, you know, empowerment can supersede a lot of other things. It is a choice. You know, we can decide to, you know, be ugly and nasty and do the things that are going on across the country, or we can choose another way. We are a very powerful organization that's growing about 500 to 700 members monthly. We have to decide and make a decision within ourselves that we are about love. That's why we exist, and that love can conquer all things, you know. And so I went out of my home after the election expecting a certain thing, or expecting people to act a certain way with me, because I'd, you know, watch the news, and mm-hmm. I used to be in the news, so I know how we do. We, you know, cause a pandemonium, freak out, you know, but I got just the opposite. I got people being nicer to me, kinder to me, and showing love. And so I think if that can be transferred from person to person, then we can actually be the change we want to see in the world.
Okay.
But we have to be the change.
Right. Okay, well, last thing I want to touch on, you got 400 women coming in here today to Canaan, and you know, they're paying a fee to get in and all that. What are they getting out of? What are you wanting them to? They'll be rushing out the door to go conquer the world, right?
That's right.
How do you, you know, what message are you imparting to them?
Yeah, you know, so they are paying a fee. It's something very nominal. They're paying $15 and they get a t-shirt and lunch. So
okay.
we're definitely,
I'll take that deal.
Yeah, definitely not trying to make anything from this. What I am doing and why I work so hard is because I want the women to know, in a world where everybody says it's hopeless, it's helpless, you have nowhere to go, nowhere to turn, that you do have hope. You mm-hmm. can do something. You can achieve your goals. You can reach to the mountaintop, you know.
Sure.
And so today is all about inspiration. It's all about motivation. And it's all about helping women to power up.
Okay. Well, one last question. Where do you draw from? I mean, I know you said you do very little marketing, but where do these How would you categorize the people that, that attend your
events? Know, honestly, it is word of mouth. I'm from Mississippi, so I'm a girl that's big on hospitality. Okay. And, you know, so when you come to my home, I'm going to offer cake and fried chicken and grape jelly and biscuits and all of the above. And so we do that with every person. I think that the reason why this organization is growing the way that it is because we take the time to make every woman feel as if she is a queen. Every woman, you know, so we are doing everything but rolling out the red carpet and throwing rose petals at her feet. And we are saying that you are a queen, that you do deserve the best, so that, you know, when she leaves us, she demands that. You know, and she commands that as well. And so if she carries herself in that way, and we have taught her that she is that way, then, you know, that all becomes reality. So I think that the movement is growing because of word of mouth and because people understand that if they come with us, they're going to be treated like a queen. They're going to be inspired. They're going to be empowered. And, you know, they're going to be happy.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
All right, and a big thank you to Charlotte Young for taking a few minutes out. I went over there on Saturday morning, believe it or not. It was really impressive. You know, the Canaan Church over there is the former Southeast Christian Church on Hikes Lane. And, you know, they had it going on. There were a lot of people coming in there as I was leaving. My good friends at Passport were getting ready to do a videotape segment on Sharla. And I am, in fact, writing a story about Sharla's organization and her story for Insider Louisville. So you can watch for that coming up in the near future. And this part of the show, as you know, is where I talk about some of the news and items that I've been doing or that I've been seeing around town and that I think are worth talking about. Try to make it a little bit entertaining for you and point things out to you that maybe you don't know. But everybody knows about U of L football, that the these college football playoff rankings. I don't know if you're, I'm sure that you don't listen to sports talk radio all the time. Like, you know, I sort of end up doing that. I drive around a lot. And, you know, there is only so much you can say about this college football playoff thing. The ratings came out on Tuesday night, and Louisville is ranked fifth. And, you know, four teams get into this college football playoff, which is the ultimate thing to be in if you're competing in college football. And it turns out that there's only one team that's like a shoe-in that's going to be in no matter what, and that's Alabama. We got about 3 weeks left in the season. But then it comes down to a bunch of one-loss teams and the merits of those one-loss teams, of which Louisville is one. And a lot of people are disappointed because going into last weekend, the teams ranked 2, 3, and 4. Clemson, Michigan, and Washington all lost their games. So naturally, a lot of people thought Louisville would move up into the top four and be a odds-on favorite to get into the college football playoff, which would be historic. It would really be something here. But, of course, the voters on the college football player put us fifth. That led to a lot of consternation around town among people that follow sports and all that. The good news is it's not over with. There's a game, and you might be, I don't know how you wouldn't be aware of this if you care anything about football, but the Cardinals play Houston, the Houston Cougars, on Thursday night in Houston. It's a nationally televised game. I'm going to my good friend Andy Martin's house to watch it, and I'm looking forward to that. I hope that, you know, as long as Louisville keeps winning, I think they're going to get in the playoffs, but, you know, we could talk for another 3 hours about that and not even touch the depth that they go through on sports talk radio. It's really amazing to me that they can talk about this one topic for so long. But anyway, that's the story. Lamar Jackson, our quarterback, is like, there's never been anyone favored so heavily to win the Heisman Trophy. So that's going to be a great reflection on our city and our university. It's all good. So anyway, that's what's going on with UFL football. The basketball season has started, and been a little surprisingly overshadowed by what's going on in football, but the Cardinals are looking good. They won they're beating the Pansies, and this is the part of the season where you can go down to the Yum Center, and, you know, for all that money you pay for tickets, you have to watch them play teams like William & Mary, which they did the other night and came out with a resounding victory. Team is looking good. Patino's got his charges ready to go for the season. So enough about sports. That's what's going on. This week I hosted the final Breakfast of Champions of the year. It was with the political cartoonist Mark Murphy, who was on the show twice, believe it or not, and talking about the elections. Mark is a liberal, of course, like me and, you know, half the country, actually over half the country. His candidate did not win the election. But it wasn't a partisan thing. He talked a little bit about the election with Donald Trump winning and all that. But, you know, it's really interesting to look back on his cartoons from events that occurred in the past and see that, you know, things we thought were a big deal back then, maybe, you know, well, not that big of a deal in hindsight. He didn't have a cartoon about this, but I'm doing a segue here. This is called a segue. I'm moving into something that happened in the past that was a big deal, and now that the situation has been resolved, well, it's not so much a big deal. But the Confederate monument over there on the University of Louisville campus was the source of much controversy earlier this summer, and Dr. Ricky Jones, who was on this show, talked about how it was an affront to African Americans because it symbolized the Civil War and people who fought to preserve slavery, and they got an agreement from the University of Louisville and the city of Louisville to move the statue. And, of course, a lot of rednecks got pissed off about that. I can say that, but, I mean, preserving memories of the Civil War is, there's a time and a place for it, and apparently the time and place for it is in Brandenburg, Kentucky. As this week, they're going to be tearing that monument down and moving it over to Brandenburg, where, I guess the people of Brandenburg, according to the story in the Courier-Journal, a number of groups went before this commission and asked to have the statue moved. I made a joke, I know, earlier in the season, earlier on this show, that perhaps the best place for that thing would be out near the big fish sign out on Dixie Highway. But anyway, it's tough to make those jokes now because I guess the white people won the election, right? The white people were the dominant group that put Donald Trump into office. And here in Kentucky, 64%, I think, of the electorate voted for Trump. Although, I will say, Hillary Clinton won Jefferson County with some 53-54% of the vote. So anyway, you're hearing a lot of stories. Trump has already appointed a guy known for supporting hate groups like the Ku Klux Klan to his inner circle. So that's of some concern, and that's making the rounds. But anyway, I'm getting off track here. The Confederate statue will be gone. It's going to be interesting to see if they put something in that spot. You know, it's a very little sort of corner, a little triangle of land there, right in the middle of U of L's campus on 3rd Street. I guess that's the next thing. What's going to go in there? Are they just going to make it just level it off and leave it there as green space? I don't know. But anyway, that's what's happening over on the U of L campus, following up on a story we talked about in depth earlier this year. It was sort of a, I don't know. I don't hear as many people talking about it now that it's being done. So we'll see. So anyway, I want to tell you another thing about that's going on in town. Our show, Eat, Drink, Talk, is another podcast here on the Louisville.am network. I love doing the show. My partner, Steve Coombs, knows everything there is to know about the dining industry and all the new restaurants. We're all covering the new restaurants. I went to the Eagle last week, the Food and Beer Hall in the Highlands. It was great. If you like fried chicken and craft beer, it's a really cool spot. I think it's going to thrive down there on Bardstown Road. We'll see. The other restaurant that's opening up is called Chow. It's a place that used to be the Braxter Station over on Payne Street, and anxious to get over there and check that out. Really want to see what that's like. Today, I'm recording this on Wednesday. They are giving the press a tour of the new Angel's Envy Distillery, right across from the ballpark on Main Street. It's finally, you know, we've been watching that thing go up for a long, long time, and it's very exciting. It's going to be a great tourist attraction. They're going to make some some great bourbon there, and it's going to be adding addition to the bourbon thing about the city, and that's really great. My guest this week on the Eat Drink Talk show, I will tell you, was David Danielson, and he has like the biggest job of anybody I've ever heard of, because he is responsible for all the food and beverage served at Churchill Downs, and is getting ready to serve Thanksgiving dinner to some 7,000 people at Churchill Downs. I used to go to Churchill Downs on Thanksgiving for many, many years. My mother was employee of the caterer at that time, Harry M. Stevens Company, and you know, that was what we did on Thanksgiving. And it's a pretty cool place to go. You know, as a young, in my teens and stuff, I wasn't that much of a fan of that type of food. But, you know, the food is good, and the food's improved under the direction of Dave Danielson, who told me also about the renovations that are taking place. If you ever go to the second floor over there, they've gutted that thing. and it's going to be all new food choices there. And it's a really, it's a pretty exciting thing that they're doing. I'm anxious to see what it turns out like. One thing I really like about Churchill Downs is Danielson will talk to you. We'll talk about the emphasis on local farmers and local foods and all that. And unlike like the Yum Center or any major arena you see in the country, they're not putting a Taco Bell in there. You know, you don't go to Churchill Downs and get a Papa John's pizza or a KFC. You know, they make their own food. I mean, it's unique, it's good, and I think it's better than anything they have anywhere else. So if you want to hear that interview, tune in to Eat, Drink, Talk. It's a podcast right here on the Louisville.am network, and you can find news about that industry at eatdrinktalk.net. Okay? So now is time to get into my next guest. Casey Mayer came here to the studio just a little while ago, and I really was fascinated by this Botanical Gardens project because it seems like I heard a bunch of things about it many years ago, and then nothing. And it turns out there's an organization that's been raising money, but Louisville is the largest city in the country that does not have a botanical garden. So I tell you, the drawings and everything are great. If you want to check out what this thing is going to look like, it's a $50 million project right down there. Also, in this interview, I get to find out what's going on with that, you know, the story about that facade down there. Everybody's been there. It's a great photographer's place. But right off River Road on Frankfort, there's this building facade, oddly. And so I asked Casey Mayer about the story behind that and the whole other thing. And, you know, $50 million is going to be a great tourist attraction. There's a lot of good things about this botanical garden. So I hope they get the money raised. The first building will be built, hopefully, in 2017, provided they hit their immediate goal of $4.2 million. There's a lot of fundraising that has to go on after that. But it is a good plan. The city is donating the land for the property. It's 23 acres for a dollar. And David Yates, the president of Metro Council, was at the event last week to talk about that. I also had Bob Hill there. And I mentioned Mario Urrutia and this great young man, 12-year-old middle schooler, talked about getting his hands dirty and how much fun it is to play in the dirt. And that the Botanical Gardens is going to be a great place for that. A lot of learning, a lot of good things that could come out of this. So I went to the top. I talked to the director of program development, Casey Mayer. And if you'll stay tuned, here's what she had to say.
Hey, I'm Dan Vonderhyde.
I'm Stephanie White.
We host a weekly podcast called
40-ish.
It's a show about life at middle age.
I'm not 40 yet.
Well, you're getting there eventually.
I guess.
So each week we talk about something that applies to the life of a middle-aged person. We drop a little bit of wisdom in every episode, and we go out and talk to people about their experiences.
And we laugh.
And we laugh a lot. Comes out every Tuesday. Make sure you download.
Tune in.
And today I am very excited to be in the Louisville.am studios with Casey Mayer. Casey, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
And I think our audience would like to know why in the heck you are on the show. You have a very exciting project going on.
That's right. Waterfront Botanical Gardens, a new project for Louisville.
And I went to an event last week. I guess it was a fundraiser. And a lot of great folks were there. And you had some great news to share. So let's share it with the Rusty Satellite Show audience.
Okay. Well, we are building a botanical garden for Louisville. And we don't have one near the urban core of Louisville. So this is downtown at the corner of Frankfort Avenue and River Road. And the news is that we've raised $3.7 million toward our first goal of $4.2 million to build our education pavilion and gardens.
Okay, so that'll be like the first building on the site. And I came into the thing. I heard about the Botanical Gardens years ago, and then, I kind of forgot about it. I know it's behind that that building front over there. What do you call that?
Okay, that's the High Gold facade. And the story behind that is that house was built on our site in the 1850s by a German immigrant named Christian Heigold. And when the flooding happened in that area, that neighborhood called The Point, that house stood and everything else was destroyed.
Wow.
So the city decided to, I believe it was Mayor Farnsley, decided to preserve that facade, moved it across River Road for most of the time that we can remember, and then about 5-6 years ago, it was moved back to serve as the icon for the Botanical Gardens.
And plopped it right down in the middle of the road, so
you've
got to drive around it.
That's right. But we have a beautiful garden there called our Founders Garden, and our wonderful volunteers take care of that garden.
Okay, so let's say I'm facing that facade from River Road, I'm thinking the Botanical Gardens is up and to the left.
It's right. It's directly to the left. Okay. So there's a gravel road, which right now serves as an entrance, but will not be our permanent entrance. If you go up that road, there are 23 and a half acres that used to be a neighborhood. Like I say, the point was turned into a landfill in the 40s, capped off with 20 to 30 feet of dirt in about 1970. And it's been sitting ever since. So 23 acres up there.
Wow. Wow. And I saw some of the drawings and pictures. I guess I talked to some of the other folks there. We're not going to encourage the public to do this, but you can walk up and there's sort of a flat area up there.
It's a big flat field up there. And we have had events up there. So everybody should keep their eyes open. We have a fundraiser in June and an environmental fair in the fall to encourage people to come up on the site because it really is beautiful up there, inspirational. And you get a view of downtown.
Okay.
It's crazy with this huge, beautiful piece of property
you've got to take me up there.
I'd love to.
Something I want to see. But the importance of having this botanical gardens. Now, at that event, I know you were trying to raise money and do all this stuff, but, boy, you had some great speakers. Let's go through those. I mean, there was one little guy who took everybody's who charmed everyone, and he was worth more money than you could pay him. Simon
Forsting.
And what's his story? He's 12 years old.
He's 12. He's actually been volunteering on the project for 3 years with his mom. And I was thinking about how to put this event together, and I thought, we really need the kid's voice in the room. And he popped into my head because he's been with us, and he's so excitable and excited. Yeah. And the first time he went up on the site, he just ran all the way up there and said, "This is the coolest thing I've ever seen." I thought, I'm bringing Simon in the room. And he, like you said, he did a fabulous job.
Yeah, I don't think there's many 12-year-olds that could pull off that kind of a speech and charm those folks the way they did. It was really great.
Yeah.
So you also have Bob Hill on the project. I know.
Bob Hill's on our board and has been for a bit, and then he oversees our horticulture committee right now, who are working on the plants that will be planted in the garden.
Okay.
So we have a rock star horticulture committee, and Bob heads that up. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's all very exciting. I know there's a bunch of other people involved. Why do you think that I'll give you a chance to explain this. Why is it important for a city of our size to have a botanical garden?
Well, there are actually a lot of reasons. First of all, we are the only city of our size that does not have one. So when you travel to any other city, you're going to be able to visit a beautiful botanical garden. And there are a lot of reasons. One is the neighborhood development part of it. So whether you talk about waterfront, the 100-mile loop, we sit on the 100-mile loop, but also the adjacent neighborhoods of Butchertown, New Lou, Frankfurt Avenue, the whole Crescent Hill, Irish Hill. So it will be in addition to those neighborhoods that's really important and helps the value. Some people don't want to talk about tourism, but tourism is important.
Okay.
And if 1.5 million people can make it to the walking bridge just two blocks away, they can make it to the botanical garden. So it's important to have things for people to visit. Our feasibility study in 2008 told us that people who go to a city for a convention or another reason will stay 1.5 to 2 days longer if there's a botanical garden.
Wow.
So we don't have the economic impact numbers on that, but how do you translate that into dollars?
Yeah. Well, that's big, but and you're not the organization building this is a nonprofit, right?
That's correct, Botanica.
And you, will people have to pay to get in?
Eventually, when it's built. So we're starting the project with our education pavilion because our mission truly is environmental education, and that's where I was getting to. I mean, yes, these other things are wonderful. It's a cultural asset, quality of life, but really it's about education. We had a donor but also board member who was on the project for a long time, and we lost her now. It's been almost 2 years. Her name was Dot Wade. And what Dot said about the project was, if we don't teach these kids that we're raising how to take care of this planet, then shame on us. And that's what a botanical garden will do. So truly, it's about beautiful flowers and relaxation, et cetera, having the orchestra, the ballet, those things. And that's great. It's important. But it's about teaching these kids how to take care of plants, what the importance of plants is, the environment, healthy soil, water, air. So we decided to go ahead with the education pavilion and gardens, breaking ground next year and opening in 2018. There won't be a ticket price to enter then. But okay. Once the full gardens are built out, we do have to bring in income to take care of ourselves, the operational income. So once the full gardens are built, yes, there will be a ticket price, maybe $6, $7. But even with a ticket price, we will have free Saturday mornings or free Tuesday mornings so that everybody gets a chance. And then when the kids come in with the school buses, that's the idea, is to get them in, experience the garden so that they want to come back.
Okay. And so give me an idea, because I've seen all these beautiful pictures, drawings, I guess. They're not pictures yet. They're drawings of the other project. What else is going to be up there? And, you know, it's a $50 million project.
Right.
So you're almost to four. So what else is going to be done with all that money?
So the next phase will be the visitor center, which will be where people check in. There'll be a restaurant, actually, so you and I could be meeting up there and having coffee and looking out at the beautiful gardens.
That'd be much more fun.
Yeah, yeah. And outside the visitor center, there'll be a water filtration garden, so we'll be learning how plants can filter water and make it clean. There'll be an event lawn that holds 1,500 people, so that night we might be going to hear the orchestra on the event lawn. Okay. There'll be a conservatory, which allows us to bring plants into this region that can't grow here, so tropical plants. A Japanese garden. Simon's most excited about the children's garden, which is the one that has the pods and looks almost like an Ewok garden. That's what everybody calls it, an Ewok garden.
What I remember him saying is he's looking forward to getting dirty.
That's right.
So you
and learning outside, kind of getting his hands on something. That's right. And we do call it an outdoor classroom, and that's the point.
Okay. Well, that's all very interesting. I can't wait to get up there. I want to ask you a little bit about yourself. I mean, you're the what are you, the executive director?
The director of program development.
Director of program development, but that puts you in charge of the project. And how'd you get to this spot? What did you do before this?
Well, I am a Louisville native, very proudly so. Went away to school and graduate school and came back, raised a family here. And I was in the banking and investment world for a really long time.
Yawn.
Moved from banking to investments in 2000, which was fantastic, and lost my job in 2008. So I don't mind saying that. After a long career, with first time collected unemployment. But during that time, it was a shakeup for me. So during that time, I tried to decide, what do I want to do with the rest of my life, right? I turned 50 and said, hey, you know, what's this all about? I'm not going back to banking. And so I ended up with my first project was I connected with Churchill Davenport, who wanted to start an art college here in Louisville. And we and Skylar Smith were the founders of Kentucky School of Art at Spalding University. Ah. It's now Kentucky College of Art and Design, and they have 150 students. So we got that off the ground. I was with him for 3.5 years and then left to find another project. I saw the botanical garden sign on Frankfort Avenue and knew nothing about it. And
you're like me. You kept driving by there wondering when they're going to.
That's right. So I called him up. I looked at the board, called him up, said, hey, I want to help you get this off the ground. And that was 3.5 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. It's a great project, all positive. Everybody's excited. I'm having a ball.
I guess, because I heard I missed the big party, last summer or during the summer with the orchestra up there. Teddy Abrams and the gang were playing music. You know, I want to get in next year.
Yeah. Right now we're planning it for June 4th. It's not in concrete, but that's the idea. And it'll be up on the side or on the edge of the site. That's the point, is to get people there.
Okay, yeah. And but just to be clear, because I like to go up there and, you know, park my car by the by that facade and just start walking up there. You're not encouraging people to just mosey in there, are you, or can you?
Well, there are no trespassing signs, and that's mostly because we don't want you to live there. We don't want you to camp out, and I think you know what I'm saying for that area of town. So we try to keep it safe. Now, it will become a more serious issue because we're hoping to start construction this year. So once we have big trucks up there, that's right. We don't want people wandering around because you don't know what's coming around the corner. But we'll keep that clearly marked. But if somebody really wants a site tour, I do that all the time. They can just contact me and go through the website, whichever way. And I'm happy to give people a site tour. I mean, we sit on Beargrass Creek, so it's absolutely beautiful over on that
side.
The
other thing I was curious about, I was just thinking, because I know driving down there, isn't it pretty close to the impound lot for Jefferson County? I mean, is it
a little bit of a hot button? Yeah,
it shares the. I guess it shares the a line, right? I mean, it's right next door?
That's right. It is. Actually, I-71's in between the two of us.
Okay.
We hope that they find a happy home someday, because when you're proposing environmental education, an impound lot is not what you want next door.
Right, right. So, I mean, is there any movement to move that? I mean, so you're asking them to move, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We would like for that to happen, and there are some initial discussions, but again, they'd have to find a new home, and I don't see any progress on that so far.
Yeah, or they could quit towing the dang cars, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to work either.
That'd be my idea. I'll speak to Mayor Fisher about that.
Yeah.
Just
leave them on the street.
Yeah, quit doing that. It's all a hassle. If you ever had to go down there and get your car out, it's no fun at all.
Oh, right. That's right. It's a problem.
It's all right. All right. Well, we got to wrap it up here, Casey. It's really been a delight talking to you this morning. And, gosh, I'm looking forward to that opening. The groundbreaking is
we hope it's in next year in 17. And you can keep up to date with everything on Facebook or on the website, waterfrontgardens.org.
And I really appreciate Casey Mayer coming by the studios and talking to me about the Botanical Gardens Project. It's really an exciting thing. I love content of the show, I guess. Charla Young is very inspirational and dynamic and is really getting things done, putting Louisville, you know, she doesn't have to base her business in Louisville. She's from Mississippi and has worked all over has worked in a lot of places, but she chose Louisville as the place to build her business, and it's now an international business. Casey Mayer is, I'm just really excited about the Botanical Gardens Project. I want to go up there and just walk around and see what that's like up there. I'm going to try to get that scheduled in the very near future. So anyway, a great show, and I tell you, to make these shows great, I get a lot of help, and I want to just reach out to you, the listener, if you're listening. I would love to hear from you about people you think would make great guests on the show. I have enlisted, if you remember a few weeks ago, Aaron Jones was a guest host on this show, and Aaron has been enlisted to help me get guests on a regular basis for the show, and so we're making a lot of progress on this and on Eat Drink Talk, so I encourage you to get in touch with me if you would like. It's easy to do right on the website at rustysatellite.com or on louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city. That's the news site that I operate, and would love to hear from you. It's a major thing that we're doing. We're doing two guests a week, 52 weeks, 100 guests a year on this show. So I really enjoy doing it. I really enjoy meeting a lot of different people, and I am not running out. There are plenty of the most interesting people in the Ville left out there, and I'm looking forward to talking to them. I got some of them already scheduled. It's a really exciting thing. So anyway, thank you if you listen to this show every week. I do appreciate it, and look forward to being back with you next week. The reason we can do it is my sponsors. I want to thank again my friends at Passport Health Plan and at the Eye Care Institute down on Story Avenue, 502-589-1500. If you want to make an appointment, go in there and get your eyes checked, or talk to them about LASIK. They're the best in town at getting you through the process of getting LASIK. So anyway, thanks to them and to all the folks that helped me put the show together. I am looking forward to this week. This weekend, there's a lot going on. Hope you get out and enjoy my hometown, Louisville, KY, and thank you for listening to the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.